It's almost like we knew a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't. Do you like the Jeff Jarrett theme?
No. It's very slow.
He was a country music star.
Yeah, I prefer With My Baby Tonight or whatever it is.
Do you want me to play that instead?
No.
Oh. I was a big fan
of that. You know what? Yes.
Go on, press it. I was going to sing along, but I didn't know.
That's Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
J-E-double-F-J-A-double-R-E-double-T. You can't spell his name.
Jarrett.
It's in the Hall of Fame. It's going in the Hall of Fame.
He sure is.
Have you seen all the videos they've done? I'll get rid of With My Baby Tonight. Have you seen all the videos they've done last week with WWE superstars like AJ Styles, etc., saying, so he's had a big influence on your career, and they do these without mentioning three letters over and over again, like Bobby Roode's on there and... all these people.
It's right. Interesting. It is interesting to see the package.
Don't
of
say TNA.
Yeah, funny that they used a microsecond of WCW footage, as expected. Yeah. Of course, using whatever they could from WWE. And we talked about this the other week. The plan was to reveal him, his singing voice as Road Dogg and everything. And it's amazing how you can pull out so much footage over such. A little bit of your career, but yes, brilliant. Welcome to the Hall of Fame, Jeff Jarrett, and welcome along to Proper Sport. Does WWE?
People get upset about who's in and not in the WWE Hall of Fame, but it doesn't matter.
There's a very, very big one that everyone gets upset about. I've seen over the years.
Who's that?
China.
Yeah, but you know, it doesn't matter. Hey. She's not here to get a plaque ring anyway.
But a family, maybe?
Yeah, but it's a fake Hall of Fame. Everyone knows that.
That's true.
So Jeff Jarrett's in it anyway. I like Jeff Jarrett. I was always a big fan.
Have you seen the clip that's doing the rounds on social media about this man's now in the Hall of Fame? I don't know who it is, but it's a smaller gentleman. Wearing a Superman costume.
All right.
Yeah. And Jeff Jarrett hits him with a guitar.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Just saying something. Yeah, but the best part is Jeff Jarrett's actually being really nice to him. He's going, hey, what's up, someone? I can't remember his name. And then the guy says something. I can't hear what he's saying or something. Then he just goes, what did you say to me? And then just turns around and plants him with a guitar shot.
That's quality entertainment. So he's in the Hall of Fame, which is exciting. And I look forward to that. It should be a good speech. He's got plenty of stories to tell.
How many of them will contain those three letters? T, N, and A.
I wonder who will induct him.
Elias. I bet it would be Elias.
No, he's going to hit Elias with his guitar, isn't he?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
It's either going to be Road Dogg or Kurt Angle in it.
I think it'll be Road Dogg. Because Road Dogg's well in with the company, and he's one of the main producers now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But apart from that, that's the...
What's his history with Jerry Lawler?
He's in Memphis.
Right,
he had a great feud, him and Jerry Lawler, with the Moondogs, which I think won PWI Feud of the Year in 92 or something. Great final, some blood and stuff. Do you want to talk about Elimination Chamber first, or do you want to talk about Raw first and SmackDown last week? Even though there's not much to talk about, is there?
I mean, I think we'll blast through Raw and SmackDown, and then we can get to Elimination Chamber. It is our Elimination Chamber review.
There's only one thing to talk about on Raw anyway, really, isn't there?
Yeah, the Gauntlet match.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised...
Which is not the longest match
no,
in
it's not.
History.
And I understand everyone's going with that, but the fact is it's essentially six matches.
Yeah. They just make up their own history all the time. Yeah.
But Seth put on a fantastic performance, there's no denying, and it just proves how good of a wrestler he is.
Monday
I thought
Night
Finn
Rollins.
Was good. I thought Braun was good. And then the rest were there. You know what I mean? I don't know what else to say about that, but overall, I really enjoyed it because, again, it was different. Nothing wrong with having a different, and if anything, it sold you for the main event of Elimination Chamber.
42 days to go until WrestleMania.
As it stands, yeah.
Yeah, so how different Raw will be every week remains to be seen. Now, this week we've got Ronda Rousey's going to be on it.
Apparently.
And Brock Lesnar's going to be on it.
Apparently.
And some other stuff. Yeah. SmackDown's building up to Fastlane, which is 2 weeks away. No, no more. No mass. We've had enough.
A week on Sunday, as it stands. But the thing is, it's been stagnant and stale for too long. Again, like you said, there's nothing to talk about on Raw apart from the Elimination Chamber stuff. But SmackDown, arguably the same. How many times are the Bludgeon Brothers going to come up against local competitors?
Local competitors.
This must be like at least the sixth time.
And then they always come out when the other people are coming finish their match.
Yeah.
Why do they do that?
It's almost like they're not important.
Why haven't the producers waiting for the other people to come out before the other people come out?
Yeah, I know.
Bludgeon.
So here's how you make SmackDown, in my opinion. All right, and correct me if I'm wrong, Richard. Right, okay. Opening promo, usually AJ Styles, either Daniel Bryan.
Why not have an opening promo?
Yeah. Opening promo, yeah?
Yeah.
Set up the main event for the evening, which is usually
a
tag team match or surrounding the WWE title picture or something, which is should be entertaining. Tag team match. Women's all of the six women in
all
the
time,
all the time,
all the six all the time yeah,
involved
yeah.
in a match.
Yeah.
Package about whoever. Stuff. So usually fashion files or anything at the moment they're doing about Shinsuke Nax.
Yeah.
Bludgeon Brothers job. They demolish someone. They demolish jobbers. Main event. And the main event then... I'm missing the crucial part.
Shane and Brian.
Exactly,
stuff.
Yeah. Backstage, them to-ing and fro-ing with whatever they're talking about when really it's nothing. And it's stagnant and terrible.
Yeah.
SmackDown, I'm praying if they... You know, we talked about it last week, that going back to dual-brand pay-per-views. If they do improve the pay-per-views, hopefully it'll improve SmackDown. Because that way, like you say, they're not dragging...
Yeah.
Until the next pay-per-view.
I want to hear Charlotte Flair giving her best Lana impression, which is apparently on the WWE's YouTube channel. Which is good, because half the time Lana can't do a good impression of Lana.
No, SmackDown sucks, mate. I'm sorry at the moment. I don't want to watch it. Seriously, I will happily check the YouTube highlights, and I'm just thinking, didn't I watch this last week? It says one day ago or 12 hours ago, but it's the... Flipping, it's the same shit every day.
Here's the Fastlane card. Main event, Fatal 5-Way for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn versus Baron Von Corbin and Dolph Ziggler. Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton for the US title.
Because why?
Usos versus The New Day. And Charlotte versus Ruby Riott for the Women's SmackDown Super Championship. That was that's Fastlane coming up. We're not going to watch that live, are we? No one's going to watch that live.
I don't think so. I'd rather wait. I'd rather stay up for WrestleMania get my body clock out of check for that rather than
anything else. We're not watching anything else. Should we talk about Elimination Chamber and then talk a bit about Dusty Rhodes?
Yes, can do.
Unless there's anything else that's come on this week that we need to talk.
I'm going to double check my news sources, but carry on.
All right. Fair enough. So Elimination Chamber was last night. I've got the things up already, the results up already, on another window on that same computer. Go to that one. That's it. There you go. So it's a kickoff match. Did you watch this?
I didn't watch it, but I'll be honest with you. I got called out at ridiculous o'clock to deal with my grandma's fire alarm.
Oh, right. Fair enough.
So I didn't really get a chance to watch anything live. I had to watch it as soon as I got up in the morning. So I didn't watch any of the kickoff.
So it was the Two Sweet Brothers versus the Mr. Raj.
I love the Good Brothers.
Whoop, whoop, and all that. Gotta stop doing that. Then it started. And it was the excitement of the Raw Women's Elimination Chamber history making match.
Yeah,
first time ever.
Again, in the package, in the build-up to it, Stephanie, of course. Make history once again.
Yeah.
Steph, get your claws out of every possible historic moment and let your superstars do the work. But we'll probably come on to her again in a little bit.
It started off with Sonya Deville, who I thought the absolutely looked great in their white gear.
Did it look cool? Because essentially they were a team, and I like that.
And she started with Bayley.
Yes.
It's Bayley.
Just Bayley.
It's Bayley. And they had some wrestling. And then Mandy Rose came in.
This is the thing, though, and
I can't remember the older name.
Corey made a good point, and she's got Mandy Rose has got the illustrious thing that will go down in history as she was the first woman to be eliminated from the first ever women's Royal Rumble, and the first ever woman to be eliminated from the first ever women's Elimination Chamber. But the fact is, right, people were slagging off Sonya and Mandy on Twitter, and I thought that was wrong. I thought they were all right. They're improving, and I think I'd rather have that than the same old nonsense over and over again.
They're all right.
I thought they were great.
For some reason, I like Sonya Deville. I don't know why. Even though her character is utterly pointless in a world where Ronda Rousey is in the WWE, apparently. We'll come to that later. But I like Sonya Deville. I think she's like a cartoon character of an MMA person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think out of the two, she's a better worker at the moment.
Yeah,
but I can see why they'd see Mandy as the star to push afterwards. But we'll see.
Why is that? Why is that?
Well, we've talked about this before.
Because she's blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instagram hero. Then Mickie James came in and
looked fantastic.
She looks like Wonder Woman.
She hadn't lost a beat, has she? Right. And I know it sounds stupid because saying that when she's been in the WWE probably for over a year now back properly, but there's something about her that she was fantastic when she made that jump off the pod.
Yeah, that was cool,
really cool. And overall I thought she told her story of, you know, with her and Alexa really well. This is the thing, I loved the camera shots on all of the women that were in the pods.
Yeah.
So you saw Sasha, and I loved the sort of the nervousness of it. Now, I watched back the first ever Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
And there was something that stuck with me, and it was, one, obviously it's in Madison Square Garden, so the entrance was odd, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was like,
yeah.
And it was coming in, and you just saw the likes of Triple H had it, like where this look, like you look up around and you got a bit of nerves and apprehension. Booker T had it. RVD had it, and I thought it looked really cool because it sold the story of we don't know what's going on here, because they didn't, did they really?
Which RVD necessarily shouldn't look like that, because his character is he's on drugs. Not him personally, but his character is.
But it was, and I thought Sasha did that well. I thought Alexa did it really well.
Alexa,
but we've talked about this before.
She is by far the best performer in WWE, but she's not the best wrestler. But she's a good wrestler. She's all right.
Yeah.
But her performances, her facials, the way she acts,
she tells a story properly.
She is the best.
Yeah. So I thought the way that they did it was brilliant, and I thought Mickey added to that really well. So Mickey came in. Who eliminated her? I can't remember now.
She was eliminated by Sonya Deville. Oh, no, she was eliminated by Bayley with a Bayley to Belly. Bayley to Belly.
Yeah.
It's a daft name.
Yeah. But it's a daft move,
yeah,
if you think about it. But anyway,
half an hour long match, barely out by Alexa, and then Alexa did Sasha with the DDT. That bit where she did the wonderful twisted bliss off the top of the chamber.
And she no-sold it. What was that about?
I don't know. Because that looked really, really good.
It looked fantastic. And Sasha didn't sell it. Got it into the bank statement. I was like, what's just happened?
I think she was supposed to miss or something then. I don't know.
I don't know. It was weird. But
it was very good.
So Mandy first, Sonya second, by Mickey. Mickey then by Bayley. Bayley by Alexa Bliss. But the triple threat sort of scenario between Bliss, Banks and Bayley was very good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in particular, and I really wish they'd made a bigger moment of it, and it would have been a perfect time to turn a heel.
Yeah.
Sasha turn heel. You know, when she was lifting up.
It's almost like a WrestleMania match, that, isn't it? So they need to do it soon.
Well, they needed to do it then. They needed to do it then. Because of the conflict between the two of them, Bliss wins. Simple. I don't know why they didn't think of that, but then again, I'm not in creative, but I should be. Hire me, WWE. I really enjoyed the end in particular. I think Bliss winning is the absolute best thing from that.
There was no point in her losing to anyone.
No. I thought that all of them did really well. And I think, like I say, I think it's a bit mean to have a go at Mandy and Sonya.
Yeah. It was all right, wasn't it? It wasn't a brilliant, great match. Probably not going to rush to watch it again, but it was all right.
I enjoyed it probably more than I enjoyed the Women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, well, the Women's Royal Rumble was a bit rubbish.
Well, I think we knew the outcome a bit more, maybe. No,
it doesn't matter about the outcome. It's just it was a bit rubbish.
That's your opinion. I don't think it was rubbish. I thought it was an all right.
Yeah.
But when you're coming down from the high of the Men's Royal Rumble, which was near enough the perfect Rumble, you know, it's always going to be tough.
After that, I didn't watch the tag team match. No
interest. I did watch it. It was okay. Cesaro and Sheamus, of course, as always, is good. Oscar Nia Jax, I mean, was only 8 minutes. That baffled me because I was thinking it felt longer, but in a good way. I thought it were great.
Yeah, it was all right. Why? I understand they were trying to keep Nia Jax strong.
Yes.
But they didn't keep Asuka strong enough at the end when she was kicking her and stuff. And Nia Jax,
but I think you need to make Asuka look a little bit weaker. Heading into such a sort of thing. Because otherwise you're just going to get, oh, well, she's easily won.
Yeah, depends on who she's fighting. Though.
That's the thing, they've not sold it as a bliss, have they?
No, so what's going to happen?
I think if she went for Charlotte, it'd be a better match. And I said this weeks ago, didn't I?
Yeah.
And I really would prefer Oscar versus Charlotte, and then that way you can have Bailey and Sasha versus Bliss or whoever, and it'd be good, but we'll wait and see. I walked away and made myself a cup of tea during the Matt Hardy-Bray Wyatt match.
Here's the thing about woken Matt Hardy, broken Matt Hardy, whatever.
Well, he's got the rights now.
Yeah. The thing about it is, the character you want to see do all the wacky stuff with all of the wacky character people in his world, the broken world. But what you don't want to see Broken Matt Hardy do is wrestle. Because there's no interest in that. When he does all the wacky stuff and goes delete, delete, delete and all that jazz and there's drones and stuff, that's interesting because it's different. But the wrestling bit, it's... And it's against Bray Wyatt.
Big fat dirty wizard.
So I'm just like not interested.
It was... that's the thing. I don't think...
There was your piss break match, everybody.
No, yeah, there's no other way of saying it.
It could be great. It could have been a 5-star match. 6-star match, I've not watched it. Not interested.
Well, I did watch it, and it wasn't that great.
Well, there you go, then.
It wasn't, in my opinion.
Just wait till we get to the Fastlane review, and it's like, no, I've not watched it. Anyway, it's not even going to bother.
No, welcome Matt Hardy. They're filming more with him. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
They're filming more with him at apparently the Hardy compound. There's pictures on in Instagram with the drones and things.
Oh, that's good. That's
so maybe we'll see it in the future. But the fact is, this was hopefully...
This feud must not continue.
No, but this feud, when it first started, we were thinking this is the way to save both of them. That are both going to, you know, hopefully then they can push from. But it's not working. And I think it's mainly due to the creative booking because... Well, let's be honest. What's Matt Hardy done? He's laughed for about 20 minutes.
And all that.
Yeah, that's it. So they have no one to blame but themselves if they, you know, and I pray this doesn't go to Mania. I really do.
It probably will. Unless they're both in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Does that mean we're going to get a female? Stephanie will come out on Raw in a couple weeks ago. We're giving you the first ever...
History making.
9th Wonder of the World China Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania. Because, like, the men have got one, so the women have to have one as well.
They need to make that more important somehow.
What, the Battle Royal that no one cares about?
Maybe worthwhile.
Just to get everyone on the telly, innit?
And I understand that, but maybe it's worthwhile by saying you get a shot at the United States Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, something. Yeah. I don't know.
They should do what they did at WrestleMania something that I can't remember, might have been 15, where they put a load of random people in the Battle Royal, and then the last two out got a tag team title shot on the card. And I think it was... I tend to think it was Test and D'Lo Brown or something, but I can't remember. And I'm going to spend the next 5 minutes going through old WrestleMania cards on Wikipedia to find out who it was.
Well, start with 15.
Stay tuned for that.
Whilst you do that, start with WrestleMania 15, which is what your guess was. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Ronda Rousey and her contract.
You weren't a big
contract.
Fan of this, were you?
Now...
Just a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, she signed.
Aww.
Now, Ronda comes down to the ring after Kurt, Triple H and Steph. Now, there's something that I love about WWE, but it's something that they shouldn't show for heel characters. And that's when Triple H and Steph are walking down to the ring.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I completely think that what they do... What I think they should do, obviously, is... I credit them for what they do with the Make-A-Wish and all the charities and everything like that, but you're meant to be a bad character.
Yeah.
Don't be hugging kids. Don't be saying hello to fans and things like that when you're trying to be a bad guy, is what my point is.
But is the problem with this that they pretend to be nice and that's why we shouldn't like them?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, you know what? Maybe
Steph pretends to be nice, but really we know she's not nice.
Maybe,
she's
evil. And so we get Kurt being very quiet and awkward, and then we see Triple H just as Ronda's, you know, getting great, you know, a bit of a mixed crowd, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's about to sign. Triple H and Kurt are having a bit of like an off mic.
this is the best bit of it.
They're having a bit of an off mic thing, and then childishly, just oh, he's got the flu. You know, he's been acting funny or anything. And Kurt basically is just saying to Ronda that Triple H and Steph are like, yeah, oh, it's been three years on, and now we've got the bit.
Yeah,
great moment.
I was
all right.
I thought Kurt,
but I didn't. I don't understand this. But maybe I'm being a bit too cynical. And so Ronda then, pretty decent moment, putting Triple H through the table.
Yeah.
The bit I didn't like was getting slapped by Steph and doing nothing.
You get slapped by
Stephanie and you do nothing.
No, because you've got to wait for that. You've got to build up the anticipation for her to then beat her up at WrestleMania.
Why did you like this moment?
I think her angle was great.
Why?
Winding Steph and Triple H up. Because everyone wants to see them get beaten up, and now we're going to see them beaten up, obviously, at WrestleMania, when you would expect that it would be Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle versus Triple H and Stephanie.
It was originally going to be Seth, maybe. There was three or four.
Well, I mean, that would be the takeaway from last night, wouldn't it? Unless
maybe
Kurt says, right, we'll stick Steph in there instead.
But what I'm saying is, like, I think there was a report last week that was something like, oh no, not last week, maybe the week before, that Ronda was going to be teaming up with someone, and the potential candidates were The Rock, Kurt Angle, and Seth, and I think Seth was the least likely option. So. We'll find out,
won't we? But I enjoyed the thing. I thought the interesting thing about Rousey was she obviously was nervous, but she came across as someone not reading lines from a script.
Yeah.
Which usually all the other people look like people reading lines from a script, usually badly written lines.
Yeah.
But I think it was interesting. We'll see what they do with her tonight on Raw.
I'll say this much, right? Imagine you doing your job of, you know, radio presenting.
Yeah.
Or me doing my job of radio presenting, and then there's a crowd of 12,000 people either doing a bit of a mixed reaction. It would obviously throw you off your stride, but I thought Ronda did pretty well. So not too bad.
Yeah.
And we'll wait to see what happens with her regarding the road to WrestleMania. Hopefully she won't point anymore.
No. Stop pointing at the sign. It was WrestleMania 15 before we get to the main event.
Oh, goody.
Where it was a battle royal on Heat, which is, you know, in effect the pre-show thing. In the battle royal were actual tag team Public Enemy, because people forget they were in WWE. Viscera, who was Big Daddy V, you remember, Big Fat Bloke?
No.
Gilbert.
Yeah.
Animal.
Was
it
the Festival of Friendship?
Yeah, Animal and Hawk from the Legion of Doom.
Oh, Legion of Doom. Yeah, Road Warriors.
Eight Ball and Skull, they were a tag team. Scott Taylor and Brian Christopher, who were...
Scott Taylor of Hull FC?
Yeah, no. Too much before they became too...
Little.
Too cool.
Oh, right.
Farouk, Tiger Ali Singh, Man and Jeff Hardy, Midian, Steve Blackman and Bradshaw. And the winners were bloody D'Lo Brown and Test, who, having won this battle royal, which also includes Droz and the Godfather, they lost in 3 minutes 59 to Jeff Jarrett and Owen Hart. So, so what a waste of time that was. WrestleMania 15 was pretty much rubbish from what I remember.
That was because they faced each other three times. That was the first Rock Stone Cold main event,
which Austin won.
He won both of them.
Also has the
the final one.
Also has the extremely famous Undertaker Big Boss Man, the Hell in a Cell, where he gets hung from the roof of the cell.
Uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, but apart from that, but been knocking out bar gun and stuff. But apart from that,
yeah.
So that was a diversion. The main event. What a shocker! Roman Reigns off to WrestleMania to fight Brock Lesnar.
I did not see this coming.
In a match they've been trying to sort out for the last 5 years. It's like nah. It was good, wasn't it? It was good. Lots of good stuff happened. Yeah.
Oh, the match was brilliant.
Yeah.
Really enjoyable.
I don't think there's much we can say about it. Braun Strowman beat everyone up, which is what he's supposed to do.
I thought Finn looked good. I thought Seth.
Yeah.
I thought everyone apart from Elias looked good.
Well, there you go.
But maybe that's the point.
Yeah.
Overall, 40 minutes seemed to fly by, I think, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
So it was really good. Braun doing what he does best. I thought it would be clever, though, if they did get him eliminated by everyone.
Yeah,
and I thought they were giving us that.
I enjoyed that spot.
I thought they were giving us that at one point, but they didn't. I was really hopeful for it, because then that way you could set up whatever Braun's going on for Mania. This is the thing. I said this last week, or probably maybe even the week before. Mm. I don't understand why they're doing Brock versus Roman when clearly the top guy currently is Braun. And it's the same as, it's the same thing of, like, Daniel Bryan had the white hot year of WrestleMania 30, and they weren't going to have him against Sheamus. No offense, he should be in the main event match, and he forced himself in, and that was great. But you're looking at, 31, maybe Seth did, was the hottest property at the time. 32, Roman, technically the hottest property because of the fact that we were forced in him, but maybe it was Dean Ambrose. But they didn't have him. They had him against Brock, and it wasn't a good match. 33. Who was the hottest property last year? And it should have ended ended WrestleMania. It was Kevin Owens.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It should have been Kevin Owens and Jericho finishing off in the main event, but it wasn't. We got Undertaker versus Roman. Now, in context, we don't know what's going to happen with Undertaker.
And that was a fairly underwhelming match.
It was an underwhelming match, and so was Kevin Owens versus Jericho. But I think Kevin and Owens was the hottest property at the time. Maybe even AJ Styles was. So you're looking at it this year and you're thinking, Braun Strowman is the hottest property in wrestling at the moment. Put him in the main event match. And you've not. You've put Brock versus Roman as it stands. And this is the thing. Elimination Chamber finished with the graphic that I've no doubt that they've had ready for months.
Of course they
minimum.
Have. Of course they have. And that was it, wasn't it? That was, there you go. There's not really much more we can say about that, is there? Really?
There weren't as many high spots as I thought.
No.
There was a lot more of a wrestling match to say that it was an Elimination Chamber match. No, not enough throwing into the chamber, I think.
Yeah.
Certainly in the match.
It was good, though. It's good. I probably would go back and watch it again.
Same.
Properly again. But, So that was Elimination Chamber. Thumbs in the middle. It was all right, wasn't it?
I'd give it 1.5 thumbs.
1.5 thumb.
Yeah. Is that, half on the 2-scale thumbs up, it's to 1.5 thumbs.
One for the wrestling, half for Mandy Rose's outfit.
No, Richard. Come on. Right,
Renee Young's sparkly jacket, that was good.
Renee Young got so much great comments on Twitter, I noticed. And again, I'm talking a lot about Twitter.
Good.
Because she's fantastic. She seems human. She seems human as a presenter. No one else does. I'll say this much, best bit of commentary throughout the entire night, when Sasha did eventually turn on Bayley. Yeah. Why do you?
Americans call her Sasha.
I've never picked up on that.
Yeah.
I just hear this. It's boss time.
Oh yeah,
Michael, shut up.
She's a real boss. No, she's not. That's Steph. Mike, we know this. Stop doing this.
Highlight of the commentary for me. Yeah. Corey Graves when Sasha turned on Bayley. Oh, man, I hate being right. I need to figure out what the actual quote was.
Because it would have been Jonathan Coates.
It was something like that.
They've announced the... Because we all love tournaments. We've got currently the Cruiserweight Championship tournament going on.
Quarterfinals.
And we've also got the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic tournament going on. Have you seen the brackets? I'm not going to give you the results. Quarterfinals, right? The Street Profits versus Heavy Machinery.
I wasn't listening. Sorry, go on.
The Street Profits versus Heavy Machinery. That's the first quarterfinal. Yeah,
that's pretty decent.
Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss versus Sanity.
Yeah.
TM61 versus the Authors of Pain.
Ooh, that's good. I like that.
Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus Mustache Mountain.
I think TM61 might be one of the favourites.
Yeah.
I think we're
going to find out.
That's it. This is what Corey said. Man, I'm tired of being right. My apologies. But he said it perfectly when it happened.
We're big fans of Mustache Mountain, so hopefully they
win. Trent Seven this week, there was a GIF that's doing the rounds. And it's, I don't know what promotion, but credit to him. And they filmed it, and he gets a chop.
Yeah.
And he just
chop.
He goes straight down like a timber. Yeah. And like Pete Dunne's opposite him. And you just see Pete Dunne pulling a face of, oh, for God's sake. Brilliant. So more of Mustache Mountain, please.
Yeah. We don't really need to talk about the Cruiserweight Championship tournament, do we?
It's ongoing, but I think I'm looking. I'm giving 205 a chance.
Yeah,
and it's been all right so far.
205 live a chance.
Like they did the Divas a chance before they turned them to superstars.
Give Divas a chance.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other news you want to talk about?
Yes. So. You talked about the tournament, the Dusty Rhodes Classic. I'm glad it's back on.
Yeah.
First bit of news.
Yes.
Paul Heyman rumoured to be inducting Goldberg into the Hall of Fame.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Why Paul Heyman?
I don't know. Because he's Jewish and so is Goldberg.
Oh, is he?
I think so. I may be wrong on that. Not that it matters.
Fair enough. Secondly, apparently Vince McMahon was the sole. I think this is absolutely because Vince just saying, "Oh, everyone's liking it. Oh, it was my idea." Apparently, he was the one who said he wanted to start the Raw Gauntlet match. Apparently, it was him.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy, he's had a bit of a surgically repaired shoulder, which has been evaluated, and he could be back before Mania. So maybe we'll see Brother Nero.
Possibly.
I think I'd quite prefer to see Brother Nero.
Yeah. When it needs something, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think that's about it.
It has been a quiet-ish week, hasn't it, of stuff?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's all the news, really. Yeah. Match of the week?
Match of the week. Let me go to the network.
Hang on.
Hang on.
There you go.
So Valentine's Day Massacre. Do you watch Wrestling with Regret, the YouTube channel?
Brian Zane's brilliant. Yeah. He's a great presenter.
He reviewed this pay-per-view last week, and it reminded me of the great hardcore match on it, which was one of the first of the going all over the place using weapons and not much wrestling. Alton versus Hardcore Holly, St. Valentine's Day Massacre 1999.
This is the thing I wanted to ask about Hardcore Holly whenever we've talked about him in the past, right? I think of him with the Royal Rumble 2005,
yes,
where he just initiates Pewter by beating the hell out of him.
Yep.
Hardcore Holly. Why was he called Hardcore Holly? Was
he hardcore wrestling, isn't
it? Was he in ECW?
Yeah, but he wasn't in ECW, the original ECW. He was doing hardcore wrestling, so he changed the name from Bob to Hardcore.
Right. Okay.
So it's his first name, Hardcore.
Ah, right. Okay.
Like Bob Holly, formerly Sparky Plug. Have you ever seen that gimmick?
No.
Oh, let me get onto the YouTube. See, he was, when he originally came into WWE, he was in Smoky Mountain as like Hollywood Bob Holly was called. He was like a proper heel.
But then, so is this where Hollywood Hulk Hogan came from?
I don't know. But then he comes to WWE, because it was early 90s WWE where everyone had a job. So I'll play this on the YouTube because it's like WWE work, so it's all right.
If they do, well, how dare they?
Well, I know, that's the thing. So obviously this is the end of Adam Bomb winning a match, and then here comes Sparky Plug.
He's headed to the... Here we go. My name is Thurman Plug, but my friends, they call me Sparky. You call me Sparky, too. I'm so excited about being here, but do you know what I like most about being here? Is when I'm strapped in the seat of that race car, and I'm flying down that straightaway, and they drop that green flag, I pedal to the metal. Just like when I come to the World Wrestling Federation, I'm going to walk down that aisle, and when I get in the ring, and when they ring that bell, I'm going to be wide open, pedal to the metal, and ain't nobody going to stop Sparky Plug.
I mean, which is a terrible name in and of itself, because everyone had a job in WWE, you know, like plumbers and stuff, and he was a racing car driver, and then it turned into the Job Squad, and he like became Bob Holly, and then he was, at some point, I can't remember exactly where down the line he stopped being Thurman Sparky Plug and became Bob Holly, and then became Hardcore Holly.
Unreal.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's in this match that on the Saint Valentine's Day
Bob
Massacre.
Spark Plug Holly. I don't. Yeah, in this match around Valentine's Day Massacre, yeah. They had a bin man. There was a bin man at the time. Wrestling bin man.
Right.
And stuff.
What was his name?
Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
Oh, for God's sake.
I think they only hired
him. The 90s were bad, weren't they?
They only hired him because Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine used to do a list of the top 500 wrestlers in the world. Which like
they still do.
Well, I know, but this is like it was even stupider in those days. And he was ranked 500, the bin man. I can't remember what he was called. And I think that's why they hired him, because he was like the 500th on the list.
Right.
The bin man.
Fair enough.
Duke the bin man. He was around for a bit, Duke the Dumpster Dress. He used to come into the ring carrying a bin.
Well,
should we do a podcast next week on crap WF gimmicks?
No, but I had thought...
Rather than proper wrestling.
I had thought, I'd maybe take a week to figure this out. Who's been your favourite jobber of all time?
Favorite jobber.
Don't even need a week, Richard.
Probably Barry Horowitz, because he actually won a match once and it was quite funny against Skip of the Body Donners, the late Chris Candido.
I honestly do think that Heath Slater might be one of the best jobbers of all time.
Yeah. Well, I guess he is now, isn't he?
Of the modern era, yeah. But yeah, so what's...
I mean, the Hardy Brothers were jobbers originally.
Yeah. Well, so were Edge and Christian, and you've got to in a way, anyway, yeah. Aren't you? Before you...
But they were proper, like, enhancement local competitors.
Were
you asking a question about Bob Holly before I interrupted you?
No, I can't remember. I think I was asking you about this St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah.
Right. This pay-per-view, is this one of those ones that's infamous, that it was only one of them?
Yeah, it was... Well, A, it was on Valentine's Day, and it was the first ever proper...
Was it on a Saturday, then?
No, it was a Sunday. It was the first ever proper match between Vince and Steve Austin. In a cage.
That's it.
When I say it's an awesome match, of course, it's not a great wrestling match, but it's great drama and stuff.
What's the story in there?
Vince comes off the side of the cage.
Very good.
The Big Show turns up. Big Show makes his debut in it because he comes through the ring. Spoiler alert.
But
it's not called Big Show at that point.
But it's a blue cage, isn't it?
Yeah, it's black, but it's the old barred cage, which I do miss from time to time. So that was the difference between the two.
Yeah.
WCW had the like wire mesh cage and WWF had the black bars, easy to climb cage.
So on St. Valentine's Day Massacre, your match is Bob Holly.
Versus Al Snow, yeah.
In a hardcore match.
Yeah. They end up fighting in the river. But the first time you see it, you're like, wow, what's going on here?
Mad? I'd be fuming. I'd be like, I bought my ticket to watch it in this arena.
And I'm from outside, in the river. I can't remember anything else on this card, to be honest. We were talking about this out in the office. Val Venus.
Oh, because he's famous for having a penis. And getting it chopped off.
Ken Shamrock is his sister. Right, it's not his real sister. Called Ryan. And Val Venus was wanting to sleep with her. Because like he's a porn star and he just sleeps with all the women. And in real life, apparently, they were going out. Right, Ken and Ryan Shamrock. Because it's not his sister, so it's all right. Where's the bit where he actually has to say to her, slap me, because she forgets what she's supposed to do?
Oh, this came up because I started talking about how John and
Big
Seth...
Big Match John.
Big Match John.
Why is he starting calling him that, Michael Collins? He keeps calling him, here's Big Match John.
I think it's because JBL called him it. And to be fair, they've been calling it for a few years.
It's just a bit odd.
There was a bit where Seth and... John come in and John's doing his typical talking, but he's talking too much. And then out of nowhere, I heard John say, push me again.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shut up, John. You talk too much. And on Botchamania, which I do watch, I think it's very, very good. Matthew's hilarious with his subtitles on it and stuff. But there's a bit called Talks Too Much. And John's in it a lot.
here's Ken Shamrock saying, slap me, everybody. You didn't hear that, but it's on the
podcast. I will listen back.
It's hilarious. I love the fact that the internet's just full of illegal stuff you can nick. Is that it? Are we done now?
For this week. Yes. Next week, we'll review SmackDown Raw, and get ready for the excitement that holds
Fastlane. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to watch it.
I'll watch it the day after.
That's what I'm going to do.
But I'm not going to watch it live because I've got no interest in any of the matches.
Unless they announce something that will really pique my interest, I'm with you on that one, mate.
Yeah. So that's it. Do the ending because you know what we do at the end. Shall I find some music for the end or should we just end?
Well, it depends on the sort of music you want to use.
What should we go for?
I don't know.
Should we go with Jeff Jarrett's WCW theme?
Thank you very much for listening to Proper Sport Does WWE here on Proper Sport. Don't forget to check out the rest of our episodes discussing anything and everything in the wide and wonderful world of wrestling. Last week was a lot about the Elite.
The Elite. They've all fallen out,
haven't
they?
I've yet to watch the latest episode of Being the Elite, but I will watch it. But
I've watched another thing, but like Meltzer and Brian Alvarez talk about it on their programme.
Well, Alvarez has released a book that I'm going to possibly purchase. It's The Death of WCW.
I've got the original version if you want it.
Well, I'm going to get the 10-year version because it's new and also I might get the audiobook. Maybe. But anyway, like and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to listen to us on iTunes, you can go on Audio Boom and hit subscribe via iTunes or whatever. And thank you very much for listening to us because we're just two randomers talking about wrestling talk, giving you a weekly dose of wrestling bite.
Well, let me just play the start because it's got words on it.
The Chosen War.
So that's it. And we'll be back next week with more excitement for the world of professional wrestling.
How does this vary from his TNA theme? We'll find out next week.
We're just going to go Jeff Jarrett crazy until the Hall of Fame. So all day, all Jeff Jarrett wrestling podcast.
All Double J.
Yeah. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.